May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. This is Song of Solomon, chapter 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon, may he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine, and your oils have a pleasing fragrance. Your name is like purified oil, or your name is emptied out, is the literal Hebrew. Your name is emptied out. That's a formal name. Your name is emptied out. Therefore the maidens love you. Draw me after you, and let us run. The king has brought me into his chambers. We'll rejoice in you and be glad. We'll extol your love more than wine. Rightly do they love you. In this scripture, this metaphor, this type, this amazing love story that was about Israel and God and a foreshadowing of the people of God and the Messiah, and the story of the Shulamite, which is us who make up the church, and Solomon, who is Jesus. Evidently, the Shulamite in this early journey of getting captivated, being captured where there was no escape, to pursue experience of union with Christ, of growing in experiential oneness and union with Him, falling more in love with Him, that at some point there was an encounter, that she had some revelation or encounter with the love of Christ, the love of God in Christ, and she makes the statement, she says, for your love is better than wine, and your oils have a pleasing fragrance. In the Song of Solomon language, wine represents the pleasures of the world. Doesn't necessarily mean sinful pleasures, just pleasures that this world offers us. And yet, she makes a statement that something's happened to her, that she's had some kind of encounter with Christ, that she's able to say, your love, experiencing your love is greater than any pleasure the world has to offer, or any pleasure that I've ever known. And then the very next statement, it says, and your oils have a pleasing fragrance. And just like I don't use colognes, I use oils. And oils, like they do even in the Middle East today, you put on your skin because they last longer. And as the day gets warmer and you perspire, the oil emits the fragrance even more. And so it talks about that which is on the surface. And it really references presence. And she says, your love is greater than any pleasure I've ever known, the world's ever had to offer, and your presence is the most satisfying thing I've ever known. And this is the beginning of the journey. And the very next statement sort of explains what this initial revelation or this initial insight encounter that she has with the love of God in Christ that would cause her to say that. You know, that nothing's like your presence, and I've experienced nothing like your love. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's Psalm 16. It's one of my favorite psalms. Because she says, your very name is, I'm emptied out. And that's what she discovered about him. Is that the very nature of God's love is that he would empty himself out for us. In Africa, having just come from there, there's a tradition that happens. The government's tried to make it go away, but they've not worked. They can't get it to go away, and that is the cow dowry. And if a young man wants to marry a young girl, then the father of the young girl demands a certain amount of cows. And that if he doesn't get the cows, they can't marry. And so what you have, like in Uganda, you have a lot of young couples or couples that have lived together for years that aren't really officially married because he's never been able to afford to come up with the 3 or the 6 or the 10 cows. But they live together kind of in shame some and embarrassment because he's not been able to come up with a dowry, but when he ever comes up with a dowry, then it's made official, and the shame is kind of lifted. And the dowry is kind of established, too, by the bride's father in terms of what she thinks this girl's worth and her significance and value, and test him, how much do you love her and what kind of significance and value does she have to you? And so when the dowry, the cow dowry, is a high one, and this young man pays that dowry, it says a lot to her about the worth that she has of this young man, but also speaks to everybody around them. People know how many cows he gave for this young woman. And so it does a lot to identify her worth and value, not just personally, but publicly. One of the things that psychologists would tell you is that much of our identity comes outside of ourselves. What do significant others think about us? That helps form our sense of worth and value and identity. And so when I think about this scripture, I guess just having come from Africa, when she says, your love is better than anything the world has to offer. There's no pleasure the world has that can compare to it. Your presence is more satisfying than anything I've ever known, for your very name is emptied out. How many cows did Jesus give for us? Because that establishes your worth and value. He gave his very life. He gave himself. He emptied himself out for us. He established our worth and value in the price that he was willing to pay. That's part of what Jesus meant at the cross when he said, Tetelestai. When he said, it's finished. It means a lot of things, completed or perfected or accomplished. One of the things that he accomplished, hanging on the cross, beaten and bruised and abused and mocked and humiliated, naked before the whole world. When earlier he said, I thirst, again, he wasn't talking about being physically thirsty. He was crying out with the heart of God, God's love for mankind, his thirst of love, for us to receive his love and to love him in return. And when Jesus cried out, it's finished, one of the things he's saying was, Father, we've done it. We've revealed the true nature of the love of God for broken and fallen humanity. We've shown them how many cows we're willing to pay. We've established their worth and their significance. And I love that in the Song of Solomon. Your love is better than anything the world has to offer. Your presence is more satisfying than anything I've ever known. For you've gave everything for me. For me. And then her very next statement is, therefore, draw me after you. Let us run together. That's at the heart, in simplicity, that's the heart of the gospel, and at the heart of a life that's in pursuit of his heart. You see, one of the things about having a revelation of his love for us and how many cows he was willing to pay for us is that it establishes your own significance and worth so much so that you're free to have a one thing heart that wants to pursue him, because you do not need all the accolades. You don't need all the titles. You don't need all the stuff. You don't need all the praise from all these others. There's nothing missing in your need for significance and your worth, because he gave more cows for you than any person's ever given for a bride in history. And so you find yourself being pulled away from all the nonsense that doesn't do anything but bring false identity and false worth. And you find yourself like zeroed in, draw me after you and let us run in this relationship. Let's not just walk. Let's run after that place that you long for me. Let's run towards holiness. Let's run towards experiential union. Let's run towards Christ-likeness. Because no bride has ever had such a price set, willingly paid. It's a funny thing how when your worth and your value is in the love of Christ for you, how it sets you free from all the other stuff that people are running after. I find this in the church a lot. I find it among clergy a lot. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.